Our message. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we ask a special prayer for Matt and the kids today as they go out to junior church. Father, be with them as they learn these very, very important stories that are such a strong foundation to their faith. Father, for us today, may you be with us as we hear your precious word. Father, may these words be truthful, may they be encouraging, and as always, Father, may we just not be hearers of the word, but may we always be doers of the word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to continue in our sermon series on the book of Amos. Now, the reason I've chosen to preach through the book of Amos is because I believe the message of Amos delivered to Israel is desperately needed in the church today. You see, we live in a day when worship has become casual, entertainment-driven, and man-centered. Reverence for God is disappearing, and many, many professing Christians approach worship with less preparation and seriousness than they would for a sporting event, a concert, or a business meeting. People wander into worship services late with coffee cups in hand as if they're attending a social gathering rather than entering into the presence of a holy God. Other people spend the service scrolling through their phones, checking their social media, or sending text messages while the Word of God is being preached. Some people carry on conversations during worship, distracting those around them. Many treat the singing of God's praises as absolutely optional, standing with their arms crossed silently while everybody else sings. Some people sleep through sermons while the living God is being proclaimed. And then there are others who attend church faithfully, but they leave unchanged because their minds and hearts are somewhere else during the entire service. Churches have replaced reverence with entertainment, repentance with self-esteem, and the fear of God with a more of a consumer mentality that asks, what did I get out of church today? Rather than, was God honored by my worship today? Yet what makes this even more alarming is that none of that escapes God's notice. Every distracted glance, every indifferent heart, every act of half-hearted worship is seen by God. The God who examined Israel's worship in the days of Amon, guess what? He still examines the worship of his people today. The message of Amos reminds us that God is not merely concerned that we attend worship. He's more concerned in how we worship. He's not impressed by crowded sanctuaries, large offerings, talented musicians, or impressive religious programs if the heart of the people are far from him. And through Amos, God calls his people to return to authentic worship, genuine repentance, and wholehearted devotion. And that's why the book of Amos is so important for the church in America today. Because before we ever point our fingers at Israel, we must allow Amos to hold a mirror before our hearts and ask a very sobering question. If God evaluated your worship today, what would he say? Well, if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, you can probably hear the pattern by now. Nation after nation, sin after sin, judgment after judgment, Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab. And every time it is the same kind of message. Thus says the Lord, for three sins, even for four, judgment is coming. Now, by this point, you can probably finish the sermon before Amos says it. Another nation, another charge, and another warning. But friends, Amos isn't just rambling off a list of bad people. He's not just throwing random darts on a map at random nations. He's actually headed somewhere with this. Because little by little, sermon by sermon, Amos is starting to tighten the circle. And in our first two messages, God was calling out the sins of the nations around Israel, the violence, the cruelty, the betrayal, and the oppression. And let me tell you, those sermons weren't that hard to listen to. And that's because it's easy to point at somebody else's mess. It's easy to hear about the wickedness out there and think, yeah, preach on them. Yeah, preach on them. They deserve it. Yeah, somebody needs to say it. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. And I imagine when Amos started preaching against those foreign nations, the people of Israel, they probably loved it. They were probably nodding their heads, maybe even shouting amen. Because as long as the spotlight stayed on everybody else, they were fine. They felt safe. You know what the problem with Israel was and Judah? They thought they were different. They thought they were different. They thought being God's people meant that they were untouchable. After all, think about it. They had the temple. They had the sacrifices. They kept all the religious holidays. They knew all the right words to say. In our modern language, they would have probably said, hey, we go to church. We know the Bible. We believe in God. We're not like those people out there. But friends, here's what Amos is doing. With every nation he names, he's moving closer to home. Again, the circle keeps getting smaller. The spotlight is starting to move. And now it's starting to shine on God's own people. And that's where things start to get very, very uncomfortable for us. Because it's really easy to talk about the sins of the world while ignoring what's going on in our own hearts. It's easy to complain how corrupt everything is out there while pretending everything is fine in here. But Amos will not let the people hide behind a religion. Amos is showing us something very, very important. And that is, God is not impressed with empty worship. He's not fooled by your church attendance. And just because somebody claims the name of God doesn't mean that they are walking with God. And that's where these first two sermons have been leading us all along. Yes, God judged the nations around Israel. But now the message is starting to get personal. Because the strongest warnings in Amos are not aimed at the pagans who do not know God. They are named at the people who know the truth. At the people who sing the songs, at the people who offer the sacrifices, to the people who show up to worship, but whose lives don't match their religion. And friends, for a church, that hits very close to home. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Amos and follow along as I read chapter 1, verse 9 to chapter 2, verse 5. Amos, chapters 1, verse 9 to chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible this morning. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four I will not turn back its punishment, because they delivered up the whole community of exiles to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. So I will send fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it will consume her citadels. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn back its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword while he corrupted his compassion. And his anger also tore continually, and he kept his wrath forever. So I will send fire upon Taman, and it will consume the citadels of Bozrah. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of the sons of Ammon, and for four I will not turn back its punishment, because they ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to enlarge their borders. So I will kindle a fire under the wall of Rabbah, and it will consume her citadels amid a loud shout of the day of battle and a storm on the day of tempest. And their king will go into exile, and he and his princes together, says Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn back its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. So I will send fire upon Moab, and it will consume the citadels of Keroth. And Moab will die amid great rumbling, amid a loud shout and the sound of a trumpet. I will also cut off the judge from her midst and kill all her princesses with him, says Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four I will not turn back its punishment, because they rejected the law of Yahweh and have not kept its statutes. Their falsehood also has led them astray, that which your fathers walked after. So I will send fire upon Judah, and it will consume the citadels of Jerusalem. Now there are three points that I want to draw your attention to this morning. And the first one is that God judges broken relationships very seriously. Look at where Amos goes next here. He goes right to Tyre. And the charge against Tyre sounds a lot like we heard from Gaza last week. Look again at verse 9. They delivered up the whole community of exiles to Edom. In other words, they handed the people over. They sold them out. They treated human beings like nothing more than a bunch of cargo. And then Amos adds something that makes this even heavier. He says, and they did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. And that, my friends, is the key right there. This wasn't just violence. It wasn't just people getting caught up in war. Amos is talking about betrayal. There was supposed to be trust here. There was supposed to be some kind of bond, some kind of understanding that held them back from treating each other like enemies. But they ignored it. And friends, this is what Amos is trying to show us. He's trying to show us that sin is never just about what we do. Sin is about who we do it to. And in this case, it was about breaking trust. It was turning on people that they should have protected. It was treating a relationship like it didn't matter, and God takes that seriously. Well, then Amos, he moves to Edom. Listen to what he says in verse 11. He pursued his brother with the sword while he corrupted his compassion. Did you catch that? His brother. Don't miss that. His brother. Friends, this isn't about politics. This is family level betrayal. Edom just didn't have a conflict. They carried it. They kept the conflict going. They nursed it. They refused to let it die. And what happened? It turned into a long-term anger, a long-term resentment, and a long-term hatred, and God saw every bit of it. And you and I, we need to feel the weight of that. And that's because this is where we often excuse ourselves. Where we say things like, I'm done with them. I'm done with them. Don't want anything to do with them anymore. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Done with it. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Hey, I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. Take it or leave it. They started it. They started it. Friends, God doesn't treat bitterness like it's harmless. God does not shrug off unforgiveness. And he doesn't look the other way when people let hatred fester and grow in their hearts. And that's because God doesn't just see what we do. He sees what's going on inside of us. And when our compassion gets shut off, when our anger gets fed, when relationships are completely destroyed by pride and resentment, God says that matters. But Amos isn't done. He keeps tracing this same pattern of broken relationships, and it gets even darker. He now turns his attention to Ammon and Moab. And now we see something even more disturbing. This isn't just about a personal conflict anymore. Now we're getting to cruelty at its worst. Look at verse 13. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of the son of Ammon and for four it will not turn back its punishment, because they ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to enlarge their borders. Wow. Ammon didn't just fight their enemies anymore. They ripped open the pregnant women just so they could expand their territory. This isn't confusion. This isn't an accident. This is deliberate brutality. Friends, that's what happens when power and expansion matter more than human life. When people become nothing more than an obstacle to remove. And God sees it. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, Moab comes in, and look at what it says here. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn back its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. In other words, they didn't just defeat an enemy, they burned the bones. They burned the bones of the king of Edom. Even after death, they kept going. They showed no respect to the dead. They showed no dignity. There was no stopping point with these people. Just simple revenge that refused to end. Now, what is Amos trying to show us? Well, he's showing us a world where sin doesn't stay small. If you haven't learned this by now, sin grows. Sin hardens. Sin will spread. It starts with broken relationships, to hatred, to violence, and to a complete disregard for human life. And every time God says the same thing, I will not turn back punishment. In other words, God's not going to ignore this. He's not going to brush it off. He's not going to pretend that it doesn't matter just because we may call it normal or we may say it's necessary. Because here's the truth that Amos is trying to drive home. God doesn't just judge big picture evil. He holds people accountable for how we treat each other. How we use our power. How you and I handle conflict. And whether the value of life is important or we just discard it. So that's the first point. God judges broken relationships very seriously. And if you're in the middle of a broken relationship, I would suggest that you try to fix it today. Because God sees it. All right, let's move on and look at the second point. And that is, God judges increasing light with increasing severity. As Amos moves through these nations, I don't know if you noticed it or not, something starts changing. Now, up to this point, Amos has been talking about who? All the pagan nations. All the people outside of God's covenant. Nations that were known for their violence, their cruelty, and their wickedness. But then all of a sudden, Amos turns and says something that nobody expected. Look at what he says in chapter 2, verse 4. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn back its punishment. Whoa! Whoa. That changes everything, doesn't it? Because Judah isn't some foreign pagan nation. Judah is God's people. These are the people who had the law. These are the people who knew the truth. This is the people who grew up hearing God's word. The people who were supposed to know better. And I want you to notice something else, and do not miss this. The charge against Judah is absolutely different than the pagan nations. In God's eyes, it's more serious. God's not pointing to some brutal act or some violence here. Look at the rest of verse 4. Thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn back its punishment because they rejected the law of Yahweh and have not kept his statutes. Their falsehood also has led them astray, that which their fathers walked after. Y'all see what it says? It says that they have rejected the law of God and they have not kept his statutes. That was their sin. In other words, Judah had truth handed to them on a silver platter. God's truth was handed to them and they totally ignored it. They knew what God said. They knew how God called them to live. But they pushed it aside and they walked away and did it their own way. And boy, is that a dangerous place to be. Hear me now. Because the more truth a person has, the more accountable they are before God. Let me repeat that. The more truth a person has, the more accountable they are before God. Hey, a person who has never heard the truth is one thing, but it's another thing entirely to hear God's word week after week after week and still refuse to listen. Judah was not lacking information here. They weren't confused. They weren't being left in the dark. They just didn't want to obey. And honestly, this is where Amos starts stepping on our toes. Because you and I, we are not people without light. This is the most dangerous place to live. In the United States of America. Hear me. This is the most dangerous place to live in the world. The United States of America. Because we have a lot of light. And you are going to be held accountable for the light that has been given to you. You will be held a lot. You're going to be held more accountable than someone in Africa who has never heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I've always said, a person that goes to hell from the United States of America, oof. We have Bibles in every home. Everybody has a Bible. There's preaching everywhere today. You can't even get past podcast after podcast. There's preaching everywhere. You all know the gospel. We know what this Bible says about sin, forgiveness, holiness, repentance, marriage, honesty, pride, bitterness. We know all of it. We got a lot of light here. And we're going to be held accountable with that light. So the question is not, do we know the truth? The question is, what are we doing with the truth that we already know? Because, friends, it's one thing to sin out in the dark. It's another thing to sin while you're standing in the light. It's one thing to wander around without truth. It's another thing to hear the truth over and over and over again and still say, I'm going to do it my own way. That was Judah. They had God's word in their ears, but not in their hearts. They knew what was right, but they just didn't want to live by it. And Amos says God takes that very seriously. So that's the second point. God judges increasing light with increasing severity. All right, let's finish this up. The third point is that religious identity won't shield you from judgment. Being a good Baptist isn't going to protect you. Being a good Catholic, that's not going to protect you. Being a good Lutheran boy or a good Lutheran girl, that's not going to protect you. You see, this is where Amos really starts to hit home. Because again, if you were standing there and you were listening to Amos preach, you would have probably agreed with everything he said up to this point. Yeah, Amos judged those nations. They've done it. They've done some terrible things. They're ripping babies out of the pregnant women. They're burning people to lime. They've done some horrible things. Judge them. But then Amos says, Judah. And all of a sudden it became personal. You see why they didn't like Amos too much? You see why people don't like prophets? Again, Judah was not some far off nation. They were people who were connected to God's covenant. These were religious people, church people, I guess you could say today. They knew the stories. They knew the commandments. They knew how to speak the language. They knew how worship worked. But even with that, God says judgment is still coming to you, Judah. And why? Because religious identity is not the same thing as real faithfulness. Look again at verse 4. Their falsehood has led them astray. In other words, they started believing things that pulled them away from God instead of toward God. Talked about this last week. They started believing what the culture has to say. Things like abortion is the right of a woman. People in our churches have started to believe that lie. That if you don't like your sex, go ahead and change it. It's all right to put your kids on puberty blockers. Go ahead. People in the church believe that. They believe it's okay for same-sex marriage. You will even have people who have a grandchild or they have some relative and they're getting married in a same-sex ceremony and they go and celebrate that as a marriage. How about the prosperity gospel? The prosperity gospel is taking this nation over by storm. People now in the church actually believe that if you have some tough times in this life, you don't have enough faith. They started believing things that pulled them away from God instead of toward God. Oh, they kept the appearance of religion, but their hearts weren't right. They knew all the words, but they weren't living the truth. Oh, they had the label, but they didn't have obedience. And unfortunately, that happens all the time. You know, a person can sit in church every week and still live far from God. A person can know 1,000 Bible verses and still refuse to obey God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't believe that anymore. You might say it, but I don't care. Murder is a sin. Yeah, but it doesn't apply to an unborn baby. Yeah, I know what it says. Verses in here all over about forgiving others. But I'm not going to forgive that person. Nope, I don't care what it says. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. You can know Bible verses and still refuse to obey God. A person can call them as Christian and still have a very hard, stubborn heart. Just because you claim the name Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. Do you really think God is fooled by all that? You think God is really fooled by what's going on? You show up to church, you look nice, you do all the pious stuff and things like that, and then you go home and you act like a heathen? You really don't think he sees that? He's not fooled by our appearances. He's not impressed because somebody says the right things. He's not impressed by a religion that never changes the heart. And as we need to hear that, and we need to hear that plainly today. Because friends, coming to church won't save you by itself. Owning a Bible won't save you. Knowing the Christian language won't save you. Even growing up in a Christian home will not save you. As I mentioned earlier, if anything else, hearing the truth over and over and over again brings greater responsibility. You have a minister here that preaches the truth to you. I don't water down the message. That doesn't make me a very popular minister in my own denomination, believe it or not. I don't ever get asked in APCOPAD to go out there and be a guest speaker of anywhere. I even talked to a guy one time who was in charge about a different position. And he said, well, to be honest with you, Pastor Ken, there aren't a whole lot of churches I think that you would fit in with. You're hearing the truth. And you will be held responsible for that truth. Hearing the truth over and over and over, I'm telling you, it brings greater responsibility. Because when a person knows what God says and keeps rejecting it anyway, that's serious. And that's where Amos leaves us very uncomfortable. Because it's so easy to read this book and think about everybody else. You might even be thinking about your husband right now. Well, yeah, I wish he was here. Or you're thinking about your wife. Oh, I wish she would be here. Or you're thinking about your kids. Or you're thinking about your parents. Thinking about everybody else. You're thinking about all the corruption in the world. All of the evil in our society. All of the violence out there. But Amos is just going to turn the spotlight right back at you. And me. Friends, the same God who judged Tyre judged Judah. The same God who judged Edom judged Judah. The same God that judged the pagan nations also judged the people who claimed to belong to him. And that means that this message isn't just for those people out there, it's for us. So, the real question isn't, can you see sin in the world? Of course I can see sin in the world. How can you not see sin in the world? The real question is, what are you doing with the truth that God has already given you? Are you submitting to him? Are you letting this word shape your life? Or have you gotten so comfortable being around church people while your heart stays unchanged? Well, friends, being around the things of God is not the same thing as belonging to God. Hearing the truth is not the same as surrendering and being obedient to the truth. And that, my friends, is the danger that Amos is exposing. A person can look very religious on the outside while remain completely unchanged on the inside. They can know the language, they can sing the songs, they can attend the services and still have a heart that is far away from God. God is not after an empty religion. God's after repentance. God is after obedience. He's after hearts that are fully surrendered to him. And friends, that's where Amos leaves us this morning. Not pointing at the nations, but pointing and examining ourselves. Because the question is not whether you know the truth. The question is whether the truth in this Bible has changed you. Has this Bible humbled you? Has this Bible led you to repentance? Has this Bible driven you to Christ? Because, friends, one day standing near the truth will not be enough. Because only Jesus Christ saves. Only his wonderful mercy can forgive. And only a heart surrendered to him will be able to stand on the last day of judgment. So, friends, don't leave here today merely informed. My prayer is that you would leave here today transformed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are holy, you are just, and you are righteous in all of your ways. Father, you judge rightly, and you do hold all people accountable, especially those who know your truth. So, Father, would you please today guide us and guard us away from an empty religion? Father, guard us from hearing your word without submitting to your word. Father, would you please expose where we have grown comfortable with truth without being changed by it? Father, we pray that you would humble us. Humble us under your word, lead us to repentance, and give us grace not just to know the truth, but to walk in that truth. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
As we close our service this morning, please stand and join with me as we sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. If you'd like to follow along your hymnal, it's page 223.